Nice. Lauren has Gospels of John. If someone's missing a Bible, she can give you them. They're just little buddies. All right? Anybody? Okay. So, John chapter 21, verses 14 through 25. I'm going to give you a second to flip there while I flip there myself. Verses 14 through 25. Okay, guys, let's go ahead and give it a read, and then we'll pray desperately for God to do something amazing tonight, okay? John 21, starting with verse 14. Now, this is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." Now he said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend to my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Now Peter was grieved because he'd said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you were girded. You girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." Now this he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Then Peter turned around and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. Now when also the one who also leaned on his breast at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Now Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remains till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Then this saying went out among the brethren that the disciples would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but, "If I will that he remains till I come, what is that to you?" Now this is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. Let's pray. And God wants to speak to us tonight. Lord Jesus, Father God, and Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come in this time. And God, we know that we in no way deserve your presence, but we are so grateful that you promise your presence. And God, we in no way deserve to have your words in front of us, but we're so grateful. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would break through any amount of churchness in us, or any amount of the world in us, things that have hardened our hearts, and speak to us tonight. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, as we say around here, don't just believe me. Please search the scriptures, because in them are the words that have eternal life. So you're not going to find them from this microphone or these speakers here. You're going to find them from this beautiful book, right? Or your iPhone if it has the Bible on it, right? Okay, you guys, so we start off here. Does anybody know the context of this story? Have you read this book before and you're like itching at it? The context of this history, I should say, is Jesus has died. Right? Jesus has died. But not only that, he's risen again. Right? It's amazing. He's risen again. So he died, but he came back from that death. And then all of a sudden he goes away. And the disciples are freaking out. They're going, "What do we do now? I don't know. What do we do now?" And they're waiting around. And that's the whole context for this story, right? Oh, if we back up a few verses, in verse 3 of chapter 21, Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing," right? He says to all the disciples, he says, "You know what? I'm going to go fishing, you guys." Then right after that, all the other disciples said to him, "Well, we're going to go with you also," right? So, track with me here. I'm going to lay some context. When a guy doesn't, or I guess when anybody doesn't have anything to do, you get kind of antsy. You want to do something. You want to be productive. Isn't that right? I tell you what, the times when I'm like, when I don't know what I'm doing. Summer was the worst for me. I took summer school every year just so that I could get ahead and take classes. I was just bored. I was weird like that. Probably because I was homeschooled a little. I was homeschooled, so I was like kind of weird already. But so when I started school, I was taking these summer school classes because I just hated being bored and not knowing what to do. Right? When Rach and I, after we got married, we had this plan to hang out with her family for like a month while we were waiting for our visas, and it seemed like eternity. And our family's beautiful. I love them so much. But after 2 days, I'm like, Rachel, they're hiring over there. Do you think I could apply and get a job? Like, I was getting so antsy. What if our visas don't come back, right? Now, how often, though, does God allow for us to be in a position? So Jesus had left, and they didn't really know what was going on at this point. So Jesus had left, but how often does God allow for us to be in a position where we don't know what we're doing? And the whole reason and the purpose of it is so that we can get antsy, right? We can get this, like, kind of itching in us. But the reason, and the reason for that is that God will show us in those moments what our defaults are. He'll show us where our strengths are, those things that we want to return back to. When you start getting antsy, you don't know what God is doing, we return back. Now, where was Peter from? What was his job before this? Do you guys know? Yeah, I hear that over there. Right? So he was a fisherman, right? So what did he say? Guys, let's go fishing. When Jesus called him out of fishing, what did he say he was going to fish instead? Not fish, fish men. So this poor guy, I mean, he was in a dilemma. Am I going to do what God has called me to, or am I going to go back to my old life? Just because he didn't know what he was doing and he was getting stir crazy, right? And that's exactly the situation that we all face sometimes daily. When you start to not, you don't know what you're doing. You have this new creation. God's doing a work in your life. And you have a choice. Are you going to step into the new calling that God has for you? Or are you just going to go back and do those things that you were professionals at before? But he's called you out of that. New identity. You're going to fish men now, okay? So that's the context for this verse right here. Peter is getting antsy and he's defaulting back to what it was that he used to be pro at. Now, the cool thing is when you read the rest of this verse, it's exactly what I've experienced so many times in my life. It says, then they went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. All right? So they caught absolutely stinking nothing. They pull it up, there's nothing there. But I guarantee you, if my life is like yours, that when you're in those situations, you will try all of your little things, and you'll get absolutely nothing out of it. And it's... I just want to spare us all the hassle tonight, because we are all following Jesus together. So all of us need to hear this tonight. When you're starting to feel like you're not doing anything with the Lord, go back to his calling for your life. Go back to his calling, because I don't want to default back to my what I was a professional at in my flesh. You know, I don't want to do that. I know that you guys don't either. We don't want to be just powerless Christians in our walk. We want to walk with Jesus in obedience according to his plan for our lives. So now we're going to make our way into this text, because the interesting thing, the reason that I read that verse was because it showed something really significant. So Peter goes back. And what does everybody else do? They go with them. Okay? So they go with them. Now, why on earth would Peter be the one that they would follow? I mean, Jesus himself is amazing, and he's shown that he's the Son of God, all of these things. Yet, Jesus gave them the same calling. You're not fishing fish anymore, you're fishing men. He's given them the same calling. Why did they go back? Well, it's because Peter was a leader, right? So Peter was a man, he was just impulsive. And we love to love this guy, and we love to just get annoyed with him because he did all the stupid things that we would do. You know what I mean? So Peter was strong. He walks on water, right? He's called the rock. You know, he gives us powerful truth from the Lord, and Jesus is like, that's right. And on this rock, I will build my church, right? So all the disciples standing back, they hear that. All the disciples sitting in that boat, they see him walk on water, right? All those disciples, they know that he was there when Jesus got to talk with Elijah and Moses. This is Moses. I mean, these are Jewish boys. This is a big deal, right? So he got to talk with these guys, and they all witnessed the power of God in his life. Does that make sense? So they see his strengths, quote unquote, his strengths. But the other thing that I think made Peter so incredibly relatable is the fact that they saw his weaknesses. Isn't that right? Like, Peter, the thing that I love about him is right after he's like, "You are the Son of the Most High God." And then right after that, he says something to which Jesus responds, "Get behind me, Satan." So he has to take his foot out of his mouth. And the thing about that is that they saw that he's weak. They saw that he is just like anybody else. You know what I mean? So there's a couple other examples. I mean, you guys know him probably already. Chops off the ear, right? He chops off the ear of the person that's arresting Jesus. And that was just stupid. Jesus told him not to. And then there was a couple other things. And this guy, he keeps getting into it. And so the disciples, they loved him, I think, personally, that they loved him because they saw the strength that was just so incredible. And then they also saw his weakness, which was so real, right? And isn't that lovable? And I mean, the stupid thing is, like, you love someone who's really strong but really weak. Because you can relate to him like Superman. He's got the kryptonite, you know? And you're like, "Oh, poor guy, the kryptonite's coming again." How much of that stuff did they make, kryptonite? It always, like, ended up in every episode on the show. I don't know how they got so much of it. But isn't that the truth, though? We love people that are really strong but have a weakness, right? And so the beautiful thing about Peter was that he was strong, but he was weak, right? Now, the thing, as I was thinking about this a bit more, though, is that Jesus himself, when he comes up with that beautiful statement, when Peter does, of, "You know what, you're the Son of the Most High God," Jesus says, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Flesh and blood did not." So in other words, Peter, you didn't do this. Your brain didn't come up with this one on your own, buddy. And they're not that smart, Peter. You know, you're the guy that cuts off people's ears. And so I think that's really important for us to realize that these people, these disciples, they saw Peter as someone who was really strong, but all of that strength didn't come from Peter. You know what I mean? So this strength, that's the reason God has set Peter up almost to be a leader. Peter didn't ask for it. He was kind of impulsive, but he didn't ask necessarily for all of these things. Some of them he did. "God, just tell me and I'll walk out on water to you." You know? But he was set up as an example, and it was God's strength through Peter that set him up as an example. I say all of that because those of you that have responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are living among people that now have seen the power of God and his strength through your lives. And the reason I say that is because you are now a Peter to them. They have seen the power of God through your life. And it's something that they have never... Think about it, you guys. If you know Jesus, think what it was like before you knew him. Right? There is nothing more unique than the power of God. And to see that lived out through flesh and blood, you're drawn to those people. You want to be with them. You want to know more about them. You want to follow them. You know what I mean? Now, Jesus has some words to say to Peter. He's got some really strong words. Peter took everybody fishing, right? For fish, not for men. And Jesus got some serious words to have with Peter. But the thing is, you guys, it's the same thing. It's the same words that Jesus can have for us. When after experiencing the power of God in our lives, having people witness the power of God in our lives, and then when we go back to fish for fish again, it's the same words that God is going to have and Jesus is going to have for us in this room. So that's why this text is so relevant to every single one of us. Can you see that now? So that's why I started there. Now we're going to work our way through the text. Okay? Verse 15. So, when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my lambs." Okay. Jesus is talking to Peter, and I wish I knew what he was pointing at when he says these. Don't you? You know, we all have it. And think about it, though. In your brain is an assumption. And the assumption may or may not be true, right? So there's the assumption that Jesus could be pointing to all the fish that they just pulled up because they got this like bumper, you know, thing of fish and there's so much fish. So is Jesus pointing to the fish? He might be. He might not. I don't really know. I'm not going to go into that too much. But there is significance to that because that is money and that is a job. And Jesus could be saying, "You took everybody out here to fish again? Well, do you love me more than these fish?" Right? So that's a question that we could ask. If you find yourself going back to a calling that isn't what God has for you? Do you love that more than God? Do you love that more than God? Seriously, think about that thing in your life. Do you love it more than God? Do we love that more than God? The same question goes to me. And with that, you guys, do we love that more than Him? So that could be, but I personally think they've sat down, they've had a meal together, and now Jesus has a little one-on-one with Peter, and He's like, come over here, Peter. And Peter gets that, oh man, not again, right? And so they go over to the side, and Jesus says, Simon, do you love me more than these? Pointing to the men. Because it's not about fish anymore, is it? It's about men. He's fishing men now. And Jesus is like, do you love me more than these? And if that's the case, that's a really interesting question to ask at this point. Because people are so important, right? We're supposed to love people, aren't we? We're supposed to love people. Jesus loved people so much that He gave up His life. God loved me so much that He sent His Son to die for me, to get, you know, become a missionary from heaven, which was amazing, to come down here where we don't even have good toilet systems. And, you know, He sent Him for that, right? That's just stupid. And yet God did it because He loved me so much. So love is important, and we are to love people. But Jesus is asking still, do you love me more than these? Okay? So this is interesting. So track with me here. Because if I'm going to say something, and then we're going to explain it. So you might go, what? And then we're going to explain it. Does the love of people keep you from doing what God has called you to? Does the love of people keep you from doing what God has called you to? Okay? Love people. If we love people, this is that we will send them away because we realize that we have nothing to give them. But if we love Jesus, then we will ask them to stay because we know we have something to give them. Because when we love Jesus, we draw near to Jesus. And then we have Jesus and we have His words, and we're able to give from a supply that we don't have. Jesus says to the woman at the well, He says, you know what? You stay with me. I'll torrent out of you living water. She's like, give me some of that, right? I don't want to go back to this well. I hate carrying those buckets on my head. You know, that's so stupid. I hate it. And Jesus says, if you stay with me, right, I'm going to torrent living water out of you. So what Jesus is pretty much saying here, like, if you come to Him, you'll have enough to give. Okay, so Rachel and I were talking about this, and we thought of this in Matthew 14, 15 through 16. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want to. Write it down. But it's where Jesus feeds the multitudes, right? Okay, Jesus feeding the multitude. You're tracking with me now, aren't you? Okay, so when Jesus feeds the multitudes, what happens is they're all sitting there. All these people are there. They're coming around because they love Jesus. And they're sitting there, but it's getting late. And the disciples, some people say, oh, well, the disciples, they didn't really like the people there, and they just wanted to send them away. But when you read what they says, they actually says, you know what? This is a deserted place. The hour is late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. So the reason that they want the people to go away is not so that we can go get some sleep. It's so the people can get some food, right? So the disciples, so what I'm saying, if you love people, just people without loving Jesus, if you just love people, you'll realize that you don't have what it takes to feed them, to meet their needs, to give them the things that they need. But if you love Jesus, if we love Jesus, we're going to have more than enough to give. Because what Jesus said, He's like, you know what? They don't need to go away, Jesus says. But you give them something to eat. And I love that. And there are people that God has placed in your life, and He doesn't want you to push them away just because you think you don't have anything to offer them. I guarantee you, you have nothing to offer them. But if you have Jesus, you have everything to offer them. So instead of pushing them away, draw them close. But love Jesus most. Love Jesus most. Now we need to love Jesus and grow up. Right? We need to love Jesus, but still grow up, because to mature, so this is catchy but really super cheesy phrase that I came up with to help you remember, to help me remember. In order to mature, we need to nurture. In order to mature, we need to nurture. What do I mean by that? If we love Jesus, we will nurture what is important to Him. right? So the mature nurture. So that's why we must love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The first commandment in the rank of them. But the second is like it. Second, similar. It's love your neighbor as yourself. So the first thing on our agenda is to love Jesus first. To love our God first with everything, all our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, all of that first. Okay. But the thing, the warning, you guys, the warning is when you have people around you that are needy, I mean, think about those people right now in your lives. Think about people that are younger than you in the faith. Think about people that you might just find obnoxious, right? Think about those situations. And now think about the fact that Jesus doesn't want you to push them away because he wants to feed them through you. Okay? Because that second commandment is so important. We need to love our neighbors as ourselves. Yes. So here's the thing. Don't push people away, because a lot of people, as they get older, and this is what I don't want to see in our church. Like, we have a really young fellowship here. This isn't the entirety of the church, but a really beautiful part of it that we get to enjoy every week, a couple times a week, right here in this room. You guys, we're part of the church, part of the body of Christ, right? That's an amazing fact. Part of one body. And we're going to grow up, though. We're going to grow in Jesus together. And we're growing. We're getting older. Time's ticking, right? We're getting older. But the thing is, we're going to grow up in Jesus, too. And as we get older in Jesus, we better become more like him. Because if not, what are we going to do? We're going to walk away from his calling in our lives. So as you grow older, if you don't grow closer to Jesus, you'll grow away from him. If I don't grow closer to Jesus, I'll grow away from him. And I don't want to do that, because I read this text and it just said to me all over again, Landon, you have to love people. You have to. Because if you don't love people, you'll return back to your old job. And when you return back to your old job, you bring others with you. And it's so hurtful for the body. You know, we really need to stay at it. But when people get older, do you ever see this when Christians get older? They're so excited about Jesus first. They're so excited. And then they get hurt a couple times or whatnot. And then they start to hate the church. They start to hate like all these different parts of the body of Christ. And we start to become jaded to the bride. But if we love Jesus, instead of getting hardened, we'll nurture, we'll feed, we'll draw near to Jesus and let him feed people through us. Because I tell you what, there are times and there are things, I'm going to be real, guys, like there are parts of the body of Christ that I really don't understand. I don't understand how they can be part of the body of Christ with certain things. But Jesus still calls me to feed, you know? And that's where we're moving on to this text, because he says, feed my lambs. All right, guys. He says to feed his lambs. And he called us to do that. It's a really big responsibility. You know what I mean? Because it is something that we don't want to do. And it's annoying. And we'll hate it sometimes. Because sometimes people bug us and they drive us crazy. But Jesus, the author of life, the author of love, the true shepherd, is set an example that we can't have any excuse. I tell you what. So when we've looked away from the ministry that God has for us, we've looked away from the ministry that others are to us. When we do that, we've neglected the hungry lambs around us. But most importantly, we're neglecting the hungry lamb, which is us. When we feed, we get fed. When we tend, we get tended to. I just wanted to read that because it's so important for us to realize that Jesus wants to minister to us and through us to each other, because we are part of the body of Christ, and it's a beautiful thing to be a part of. And he wants to feed others through you. Are we in the position today where we have gotten sick and tired of certain parts of the body of Christ? Are we at the place today where we are hardening our hearts towards our brothers and sisters around us? Are we at the place today that we are compromising what we know is truth because we just don't want to work anymore? We don't want to do what God has called us to. Are we there today, beloved? Because if we are, Jesus has some words for us. And those words are, feed my lambs, he says. He said to him again a second time, Verse 16. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he'd said to him the third time. I don't exactly know what that third time means. I mean, some people go into a lot of that, but I wasn't there and I don't know the culture firsthand, you know? But I've heard that like three times, if you do something three times, it's complete. And it's supposed to be like, if you call someone stupid three times in a row, it's really bad. You know what I mean? If you insult someone's mom three times in a row, that's like completely insulting their mom. Right? So along those lines, if you say, Peter, do you love me? It's like, do you love me? You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? Jesus is really emphasizing the fact that he's trying to let Peter know if Peter loves Jesus. Jesus is really trying to get this point across here. And he says, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. These last couple verses that we've went through, there's a progression in them. And I've titled this one really cheesily as well. Nurture till they mature. So, we are to nurture until they mature. So the mature will nurture. But we must then nurture till they are mature, till we are mature, complete in Christ. The reason I say that is because we have a nice little Lion King moment in these last three verses. It's the circle of life and it moves us. You know, you have the little Simba, right? And you have the circle of life here. You have lambs. You've got the sheep. You notice, have you ever noticed that? It does. It says, not Simba from the Lion King. Have you ever noticed, though, that it says, feed my lambs, and then it says, you know, tend my sheep, and then it says, feed my sheep. Have you noticed that? I never did until I read it. Man, that's bad. I've been saved since I was 5, and I've never noticed that. That's horrible. But I love the fact that Jesus wants to speak to me on this text tonight. It's obvious. Because he says, the first one is little lambs, like little buddies, little ones. And they're the neediest part of the job, are they not? Right? When I was about 8 or 9 years old, we used to live on 3 acres of land. Acre, is that the same measurement here? Yeah, for land. Is that right? Yeah? I don't know either. Okay, so it is. So she says good. So the acres are the measurement of land. We lived on 3 acres of land. So it was a bit of land. We had some chickens. We had quail. I was homeschooled. We had all kinds of stuff. And my parents are not related, though. So that's a good, besides through marriage. You know what I mean? So where's anything weird like that? So we had all these animals. We had white German shepherds, right? Beautiful dogs. And we used to breed them. We had 2 girls. We had 1 guy. And so both of the girl dogs, they got pregnant right about the same time. So we had, one of them had 11 puppies. The other one had 10. So we had 21 little white German shepherd puppies at the same, little fluff balls. They were so cute. They're amazing. My sister and I had these memories of just like opening up the gate to the kennels, and all the puppies would come out, and we would start running, and then the flock of puppies would start running after us. Then we'd throw ourselves on the ground and the puppies would be like coming out from every angle and jumping on you. It was amazing. The reason I say this is because one of the dogs got a uterine infection right after they had the puppies, which means that she couldn't nurse the puppies. And that was the one with 11. It could have been the one with 10. No, it wasn't. It was the one with 11. So we had to little like dropper feed 11 puppies over and over again. We were homeschooled, which was good because we were home all day. So we could study and then feed the puppies all day. And because by the time you got finished feeding the 11 puppies, they were hungry again. So it was endless. Like, there was 2 of us, my sister and I, so we could kind of work it and get it done faster. But the reason I say all of that is because Jesus says, feed my lambs. Oh, wow. There's a lot of them. Have you guys ever met, like, baby Christians? They're everywhere. Like, they're everywhere. People say no one gets saved in London, but they do, and they're everywhere. And so Jesus is saying, if you love me, feed my lambs. Feed the little baby sheep. They're needy. They're super needy, right? They need a lot of milk. They need it all the time. And when you get finished feeding them, then you got to feed them again. And then they don't know what to do with it, and so there's messes everywhere. And you're just, you know what I mean? It's really, really needy and time-consuming. But think about the people that you know, maybe that are younger in their faith, right? Not saying that, okay, yeah, we're needy. We're all needy, right? We need Jesus. And so that's the thing, like, when you, if you know somebody that's young in their faith, like, feed them. You guys feed them. Get together. Get the word together, right? Because it says here that I was kind of reading, okay, milk, right? Puppies, lambs, they drink milk, right? That's, makes sense. 1 Corinthians 3, Hebrews 5, it all talks about people that are carnal. They have a lot of problems. They're arguing about everything. Right, they're arguing about everything. They're suing each other. They're sleeping with relatives. They're doing, you know, like, that's examples in 1 Corinthians. Actually, it's just gross. And Paul looks at him and he says, "You guys, this is not okay." And he says, "You're carnal, and you need the milk of the word." Okay, so Jesus we've already have set in the Bible what's the prescription when we're carnal new babies. We need the word. We need the milk of the word. It says in 1 Peter 2, if indeed you've tasted that God is good, then desire the pure milk of the word. Right? And I think it's fascinating because when those puppies come out of the dog and right after they're cleaned off, they go looking for the milk. It's amazing. They have just entered the planet and they know where to go, right? And then they're just like, they're there. And oh, that we would know. I think the worst thing about like spiritual babies is that sometimes we don't know, you know, what we need. And we know we have this desire, but we haven't been shown. And so that's why we're told to feed my lambs. Because those new baby Christians, they need to know, here's the word. Here's the pure milk of the word. Enjoy. Now, when you first got saved, did you ever have that season where you just enjoyed the pure milk of the word? If you haven't, start now. Go home tonight and just start reading through the book of John. And just say, God, just feed me with the pure milk of the word. And enjoy it. Get to know them. When a baby is that first, you know, however many months when they nurse with a mom, they're learning so much more. They're getting so much more than just the food. They're learning their parents' voices. They're learning the touch of their parent. They're learning the heartbeat. You know, they're starting to learn how to breathe. You know, some families just kind of breathe differently than others, and it's because they've all learned it from each other, right? And you learn how to breathe, right? Right? And so we learn that from our dad when we sit there and just feed. And that's a really important thing. If you've never got that with the Lord, get that. It's really important. I realized partway through my walk that I never got that with the Lord. And I started in John and I was like, I just need to know my dad. And so I tried to really just feed on that milk of the word. And it's so important. If you've never got that, get that. Get that. But then after that, Jesus tells him, you know what? Tend my sheep. Now, I was when I was younger, I was responsible to tend the quail. At our house, that was one of my jobs. Was, you know, quail, the little bird with a cool little like feather. Yeah, yeah, they make the coolest noise. I'm not gonna do it. It's like I can't do it. That's why I didn't. It's like doo 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 doo. I can't do it. Anyways, but the coolest thing about these little quail was they're just these beautiful. They're regal looking. They're just beautiful birds, right? And those poor birds, man. There's so many stories about them. But the one that I want to tell you is. It was my job to tend to them, okay? So I was supposed to take care of them. I want to give an example of what tending looks like. So there were these quail eggs, and they were my quail, and my quail had eggs, and I was very proud of that. So my parents, they went and got me a really cheap little styrofoam incubator so that I could take care of the little eggs and help them hatch and all that. So I put all the eggs in there. I had a little machine that would, like, rotate them, so it was really nice. I was responsible. Yeah, it was a lot more epic than it sounds. No, actually, it's a lot less epic than it sounds. It looked like it came from McDonald's. But I was supposed to put water into the incubator so that it would maintain a certain humidity inside of there. And that was my job. That was the only job I had. This stinking thing rotated the eggs for me. It kept it hot, everything. All I had to do was put water in the incubator, and I forgot. Towards the very end, you're actually supposed to not put water in the incubator for the last, like, week. Turns out that's when I forgot. Here I was, like, 8 years old. And at that point in time, I woke up one morning, and then I thought I heard, in my dream, I thought I heard, like, little quails chirping, right? So I thought, oh, no. I forgot. Like, I forgot about them for a week and a half. And they were in my room. I don't know how I did. And so at that point, I was, oh, no, I forgot. And so I went over to the incubator. I thought I just heard it in my dream or something. I go over to the incubator, and I go to lift up the lid thinking that they're all going to be rotten and all this stuff. And there was all these little baby quails, you know, running around. So it was really nice. So it ended out well. It turned out well. And I say that story because God has put us in responsibility to tend, right? That word tend is to take care of. We're responsible over. We have a very big responsibility. And what God has done is he's given us that responsibility. Do you guys remember in Genesis? Back in Genesis, where God has called us to tend the garden. Remember that? To tend and to keep it, right? So this word isn't something that's new here. God is actually kind of bringing this back in here for a reason. Because that garden was to be tended to. And that garden was to be tended. That's to spend your energy there. And Pastor Tony defines it as that. Just to spend your energy, to go to work there, to tend to it. And that is so important. So once you fed this little, the baby, once you fed that past a certain point, these people around us, as we grow in Jesus Christ, as we become more like him, as we get older in our faith, there's going to be a point where we're not going to need that bottle every 30 minutes. You know, there's going to be a point where we'll get past that. But you still need to tend, to spend your energy with the believers around you. Because it's so important. If you just let something go, you'll forget it. And I was blessed in my situation, but some people, you open up that incubator and they're all dead. You know what I mean? So it's really important to tend to what God has given you. It's so, so important. And that's exactly what he calls for us to do. And so we move on from that tending though, because not only that, but he has called us to feed his sheep. Now through all of this, you guys, I just want a reminder, God is faithful even in our mistakes. Listen up here, guys. God is faithful even in our mistakes. And that is why it was just so amazing for me when I was sitting here thinking about this example of tending, and the quail was the first one that came up in my brain. And then in that was a huge mistake that I had made, but God was faithful. Isn't that so true? Because I guarantee that not a single one of us are good enough to accurately feed and tend to anything else that is actually worth anything. And so it's only by the presence of God in our lives that we're able to really invest in each other, right? He's calling us to invest in each other, to tend. So we're giving of our time, we're feeding, we're tending, but now we're feeding the sheep. They are adults now, right? They're able to do their own thing, still really dumb, but you know what? They're able to do their own thing. They still need a shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd. So we're called to tend. We're called to tend. Now, I got online today and I spent a little too much time than I should have looking at this, like, FAQs for tending to sheep and for sheep, right? Oh, it was hilarious. And my favorite thing that I wanted to just share with you, because it actually goes so perfectly, it said, please do not put large round hay bales with your sheep. Like the huge ones. You know, the big hay bales, those things? They said, because what they'll do is they will eat the whole bottom, right? And they start to make their way in, and they're all like, oh, this is awesome. And they get in there, and they're all kind of eaten. But then what happens is those things are huge, and they'll eat so much out of it that the whole hay bale will roll over and kill them. And they said it's happened enough that they wrote this in a frequently asked question, right? So it happens enough that that happens. But I was thinking about the fact, though, that what happens here is that we can sometimes try to eat on something that's almost too big for us. Things that really, it's not ours to decipher all of the mysteries of the universe. All I know, you guys, is that I once was dead in my sins, and now I'm alive. And everything else is too big for me. Everything else is that huge hay bale. I mean, if I start eating out of those things and thinking I can figure out all the philosophies of this and that and this and that, I'm going to get killed by it, crushed by it one day. You know what I mean? And so I'm just praying that in our lives, you guys, we can come to realize the beauty of simplicity and the beauty of that fact that God just wants us to feed on him, just wants us to be with him, to invest in each other. So what happens here, you guys, is it doesn't matter if the little babies are carnal. Because that's in 1 Corinthians, it says those people are so carnal, but Paul is still feeding the lambs. Afterwards, he tends them as they grow up. Those carnal things, those will start to go away. As you get to know Jesus more, you don't want it anymore. That's a testimony of my life. You know, there's certain things that I wanted before and I don't want anymore. And I know there's certain things that I want now that one day I won't want anymore. Praise God for that. And one day when I'm in the presence of God, I won't want any of it anymore because it's going to be so good. He promised me that. And I am so excited for that day. So the nice thing is, though, no matter how carnal these people are that you come in contact with, they say, oh, well, he's a Christian. Don't sit there and isolate yourself. Don't judge them. jump in. Take Jesus' command, you guys. Take his command. Jump in and feed those lambs. And then when they start to grow up, tend to them. And then when they get older, keep feeding them. Because we never are too old for food. Is that right? We are never too old for food. I love food. I love Jamaican food, particularly sometimes. Sometimes I love Thai food a little more than others. But honestly, we are never too old for food. And that's the beautiful thing that God has put within all of us, is that we all need food. And he uses that as an example for the Word of God. And he uses that for a reason, because you never outgrow it. If you think you outgrow food, you just wait. I'll let you. If you say, you know what, I'm too good for food, I'm too mature for food. You know, you can do that all you want, but then we'll give you a Big Mac when you start to, you know, get weak on the bed and you can't go anywhere because you need food, all right? So then we move on from that verse to this, verse 18. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. I read that and I go, what? And then I read the next verse. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. Oh, stop. Ooh. I thought that was incredible, because he didn't say by what death he would end his life here on earth. By what death that all of the days of his would end. By what death that people would mourn him. He said, by what death he would glorify God. And that's really amazing. Because no matter now, if you are one of his sheep, by life or by death, you are going to glorify your Creator if you're doing what he's called you to. I tell you what, you glorify God. We walk from glory to glory with our Creator. If we are obeying our God, our beautiful God, we walk from glory to glory. He does a work in our lives, and it's all for the glory and praise of Jesus. Then we keep going. We're getting older, and it's all for the praise and glory of Jesus. And then one day we're going to die, and it's all for the praise and glory of Jesus. And I know people that have passed from life into death. You know, my grandma, I remember, I was here actually. I moved to London already when my grandma passed. And I remember being on a on the phone, on Skype. Thank God for technology. I couldn't be there, but I could. And it was so great because I was able to Skype with my grandma. I think it was the week before she passed. And, it was so amazing though, because we were sitting there and I was reading a verse to her and it was the wrong verse. And, I could pick one out beforehand and I slipped to the wrong one, but it just so happened to be that beautiful verse which said, you know, these light afflictions which are but for a moment, working in us a more exceeding glory. And I just started, you know, crying as my grandma was, we were just reading this together. And it was incredible though, because she was talking to me and she was talking to God. Like she would start talking to me and then she would start talking to God. But she wasn't like prayer, like, dear Lord. It was like she was talking to God. And she was passing from one glory to the next. And it was so incredible. I want my life to be like that, you guys. Just to pass from one glory to the next as we go through this together. But it's just so important that we recognize that our life is for the glory of God. And our death as well is for the glory of God. And even if death, this thing that people are afraid of, I was listening today and I was hearing from all kinds of people that they were saying, it was a quote from famous people about death and how terrified they were of death. And they are epic on the movie screens, but they are terrified of death, you know? They've got more money than you could ever imagine, but they are terrified of death. And there's people that have so much, but they're still terrified of this one thing. But death, where's your victory? Where's your sting now? Huh? My Jesus, he took on that death, and he defeated it. So you guys, so important, so, so important to just recognize that we are, whether by life or by death, we're going to glorify God through this life. Whether by life, in every situation, even right now, we're going to glorify God. By life or by death, because he's worthy of praise. And Jesus is the one whose name needs to be on all of our hearts and all of our lips tonight. I'm so grateful for him. Because you know what he wants to do through this time? He really wants to speak to our lives. He wants to speak to our hearts. And you guys, I'm so grateful. Because it is perfect. Because whether you're young, a little lamb, right? We still are called to feed. Or if you're older in your faith, you're called to tend. And people that we've seen, we still need to feed. They need that pure milk of the Word. And they need to be tended to by people that love the Lord and love our Father. You know, people as they get older, we are so still needing that food. Because I tell you, the moment I step off of His food, I will eat from something else. And I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. But life with Jesus is so important. And it is the only life that's worth living, isn't it? Death to the flesh, but life in Christ. Amen. So, as we move on, verse 21:19, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me. Follow me." I love this, though, because Jesus himself had already died and risen again. Is that the right word? Risen. He'd already died and risen again. He'd already defeated death at this point. So when Jesus looks square at Peter and says, "I say this to signify what kind of death that you're going to have, but you follow me." Jesus is like, "I got power over that death and that spiritual death. I've got power over it." And so I'm so, so grateful. Peter was all right when it came to being strong in God, but weak in flesh. Peter hadn't been following Jesus. Are we following Jesus? Do we feed? Do we tend? Are we following Jesus, you guys? Think about it. Do we feed or do we tend? Are we following Jesus? Because I want to say that there's one of the main reasons that the body of Christ isn't growing is because we're not feeding and we're not tending. Even the people that just drive us crazy, even the people that we don't like, even the people that we love, even the people that we love. You know, my sister, sometimes with my family, they're the hardest ones to get in spiritual talks with. I don't know why. You know, like this, like real ones, you know, like real deep ones. Sometimes it's really, really tough to be real with people that you're closest to. And it's because sometimes we don't feed and we don't tend like we should. And I don't want that to happen. You know, let's have that stop tonight. Because we need to be real with each other. God's going to do a work. Verse 20. This part is, we're going to blow through it. The main heart of it's already been shared. Verse 20, then Peter turned around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following him, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Well, Peter, seeing this guy, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" So Jesus just told Peter, "You're going to die, but follow me." Right? And then Peter turns around. He goes, what about this guy? Is he going to die? How is he going to die? Tell me, because I want to feel better about myself right now. You know? And so many times, right? This is us. I saw this and I saw spiritual ADD going on right here. Right? Jesus had just told him probably the most profound thing he's ever going to hear. And right after that, he's like on to the next topic. Oh my goodness. So he says like, "You know what?" He's like, "You know what? If this man remains till I come back," Jesus says, "if this dude stays alive till I come back, what is it to you? Doesn't matter to you." And this is something that I would like to say. It doesn't matter how absurd or how normal the distraction. Don't let it get you. It doesn't matter how seemingly supernatural it is, how amazing and mystical. Don't let it get you. Because Jesus has a beautiful calling for your life, and it's to feed the lambs and the sheep and to tend to them. And that's what he's got for you. And he says, "Follow me unto death, from glory to glory," just like Jesus. He lived his whole life doing that. As we move on from there, this disciple, This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself, he turns into a poet right here, even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. At the end of Peter's life, I should say, there were a bunch of stories that he had, and I guarantee you, none of them were stories of his strength. Because all of the stories of his strength were when he cut off the guy's ear. All the stories of his strength were when he, you know, fell when he was walking on water. All the stories of his strength were when he said stupid comments that got Jesus to say, "Get behind me, Satan." Those were his strength. But at the end of his life, the things that he gloried in, those were the things that Jesus did through him. Those are the moments of just sheer profound doctrine that he spoke. Those are the moments where he was able to actually believe God and walk on water. Those were those moments. And at the end of our lives, what are the stories that we want to have? What are the stories that we want to tell? Are they going to be the stories of our own strength? Or are we going to wait on the Lord and let him tell the stories of greatness that God wants to do as we do and obey his call in our lives? So just to recap, you guys, we mature, the mature, they nurture, and nurture till they mature, and then follow. Who are we following? That's the question tonight. Who do we love, Jesus or man? That's the question tonight. How long are we in it for? Are we in it till death? Do we really have that, like, till death mentality? And then lastly, what do we need to get right? Is there anything tonight that the Lord's been speaking in your heart that you need to make right? Are there people that you haven't been investing in? You know, have you been getting lazy feeding? Have I been getting lazy feeding? I have. And that's why the Lord wanted to show me this text. I haven't been investing as much as I need to in individuals, real people. You know, not just like something that we call a ministry, but real people, you know, loving, tending, feeding. So that's the question. Or do you even know this Jesus? Remember how I was talking about earlier? There's that beautiful thing where we want to follow somebody who is really strong, but also has weaknesses like us, right? In Hebrews, it's such a good verse because Jesus himself is called the high priest. And in that it says that he is like us in weakness. And he was tempted in all points. Some people say, oh, no. But it says Jesus was tempted in all points, yet without sin, right? So no, if you're looking for someone to follow, I guarantee you it will not be me. It will not be any of us in this room. It's going to be Jesus Christ. Because he lived the life that I wished I could live, but I couldn't. And he lived that perfect life that I wanted to live. But he died the death that I deserve to pay for my sins. And then he rose again to prove that he had power over all of it. And then he just went back to the Father and said, do this. Let's do this thing, guys. So if you've never accepted that gift of salvation from Jesus, of believing in what Jesus has done for you, tonight is a very good night. Tonight's the best night to do that. If you have, and you feel like you're just not investing like you need to, or following, I guess it's just loving Jesus, right? When we love Jesus, we'll invest. So if you feel like you're not loving Jesus like you need to, let's just make it right. Let's get right with the Lord tonight. So I wanted to take just some time tonight for prayer. We might do a few worship songs as well, but I really just want to spend a lot of time in prayer. Right now it's close to 9, so we're gonna spend about 30 minutes of just some worship and some prayer. And I know that that if you guys want to pray with somebody, I know that Rachel's available for that. Mama Angie, anybody really will be available. Trista or whoever's in the room that wants to pray, just pray for each other. Feed each other, right? Just tend to each other right now during this time. If you need to leave, that's totally fine. It's totally fine because the Lord will speak to our hearts. And the Lord's going to apply this to our lives. So you guys, a real pleasure. Let's pray together right now. Father God, I thank you so much. I just thank you for your love. I thank you for the fact that you have poured your love out on man. You've poured your love out for us, God. And I pray that if there's anyone in this room that's never responded to your love, that you would put it upon their hearts so heavily tonight. God, I ask that you would just be knocking on their heart, that you would be inviting them to let you come in and enjoy a meal together for the rest of their lives. And if that's you, if God's speaking to your heart right now, just pray the simple prayer, which is, God, I believe that I'm a sinner. And I ask that you would forgive me for my sins, which I can't pay for. And I pray that you would make me a new creation, that you would forgive me of those sins and bring me into the new life, just like you brought Jesus into that new life. And I ask, God, that you would take away my flesh that just craves sin, and that you would help me to love and crave you. And I ask that you would place your Holy Spirit within me, that I could know you more. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And if you are a believer, let's just pray together, guys. Lord God, I thank you for the fact that you've called us to be a family to each other. And I pray that if there's any hardness or even any hurt or hardness of heart towards each other, even in this room, I pray that you would tear that down, Lord. God, I pray for the people that are really investing, the people that are doing this, that are feeding. I pray that you would encourage them, just spur them on with a well done tonight. I pray for those of us that maybe have been slacking and not investing like we should. I ask that you would forgive us, God, and just lead us into your heart, Lord. And I commit the rest of this night to you. I pray that you, and I want to give you room, Lord, to minister to each person's heart tonight. So I commit the rest of this night to you. And I ask that you would have your way, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen.